focus of the trip was purely on the infrastructure side, and while no deals were signed along the way, it gave our members an opportunity to see exactly what the potential of kind of three different markets were. Ghana being the future with their oil finds, Kenya kind of the old guard of East Africa, and then Ethiopia, which in a lot of ways with 90 million some odd people is the future of what Africa could bring, a lot of arable land. So our members walked away with a different perspective on the opportunities that Africa presents. Three different markets.
In terms of those three different markets, what is the potential? For example, is the potential greater in a country of 90 million, Ethiopia, or one, of course, I think, with oil fields versus, say, the old guard, Kenya?
It's really in three different worlds. The Ghanaian market is ripe for investment. It has a kind of a boomtown feel right now. The market is demanding a greater level of investment from American companies, and I think American companies are responding in due course of figuring out where the potential for infrastructure development is in West Africa. Kenya has some stabilization problems to deal with along the way, and they have an election next year, so I think it's companies are excited about it. I think there's some legacy issues. There are issues there with the 2008 post-election violence and some of the legacy corruption issues that exist within the Kenyan political system. That being said, I think that they've done a lot over the last couple of years to reattract the investments from the U.S. You have GM, you have General Electric, you have FedEx that are doing very large amounts of business, and they're growing their market share over there. So the political issues are real, the corruption issues are real, but I think they are doing everything in their power to try to address those issues. They just recently enacted a new anti-counterfeiting bureau, which we're pressing them to fully fund and make sure that's a strong enforcement body. And the new constitution has definitely helped to reshape what's available in in Kenya to make sure that there is the sense that they're divesting from central power out to these different counties. I think they're 47 or 48 counties where there's going to be increased opportunities. So I think they've got it on the right track now. And then we'll have to wait and see what happens next year with the elections to really get a full picture of where the future is for Kenya. And then in Ethiopia, in the agriculture sector specifically, the companies that we took along saw that there was great potential, and the government has a concise and implementable plan that American companies can benefit from partnering with.
With regard to Ethiopia, we hear that Ethiopia and other countries do have a lot of investors now in the agriculture sector. So are we talking about large agribusinesses or businesses, for example, in Asia, where governments come and buy or rent a large swaths of land to grow food for export to their own markets?
In the context of the U.S. firms that we were dealing with, they're taking a long-term view of the potential of the Ethiopian market, and it's up and down the supply chain in agribusiness. So it's from the infrastructure built out of the roads to the value added that the companies can provide to all the way up to the top tier of the supply chain of having big horticultural facilities, for instance. And while there is the potential for foreign players in the market to look at it as a land lease option, American companies are looking at it as a way to invest and employ Ethiopians for local consumption, but also export to other regions of the world to feed the markets that are in demand.
The Chinese are investors in huge infrastructure projects in Africa. It's said that they can build these projects more cheaply than we can. How can the U.S. and other countries compete in Africa against Chinese investors?
Well, I think the American investors, there is a challenge there of some Asian countries, China, for example, that have been able to kind of get in the system for American firms. That being said, I think there's great opportunities around the opportunities to either partner with Chinese firms or other Asian firms that have a foothold, that have some favorable lending institutions. I mean, I think there's always partnerships for deals to be done. In the American context or the U.S. context, I think we need to look at incentivizing ways to help American firms get a foothold in the last emerging market in the world, and we can do that through different ways of financing, whether it be through EXIM or OPIC, and more lenient terms for longer options on those loans.
What, again, are some of the challenges facing American and Western companies trying to get into the Africa infrastructure market?
I think a big challenge from a U.S. perspective is the perception of what Africa is versus the reality of what the African markets actually are at this point in time. So we spend a lot of time watching the news and seeing how turbulent the region is, and I think that's really the biggest impediment is the visual aspects from a media reporting standpoint, where the reason we took this trade mission to these three select markets was because we know there's potential there, and we know there's opportunity. So it was an opportunity to really start to change the playing field for American firms to realize that we need to be more active in these parts of the world for our own well-being.
Can you name any recent deals in the past couple of years in terms of African infrastructure, any deals that have been entered into by American companies?
Off the top of my head, I know there have been some through MCC financing or through USAID type of projects, and I know that GE and other firms have actively been looking at how to invest more constructively into different parts of Africa. Cargill, for example, a number of, I think it was 2 to 5 years ago, don't quote me on the exact time frame, opened a major cocoa processing plant in Ghana. So American firms are seeing the opportunities to invest broadly. I know Boeing does a lot of trade back and forth. They're one of the biggest investors in Africa through the airports and whatnot. So, and BAE Systems, or PAE, is helping on a logistics side, building out some of the airports across the region.
Now, what types of returns are there for U.S. investors in African infrastructure projects, and how can these projects be made more attractive to U.S. businesses?
The returns are incredibly, I mean, they're exponential just because of the market size. It hasn't been exploited like other parts of the world, so I think it's a much more manageable return on investment. I think companies and private equity firms, most importantly, are noticing that they're ROI in Asia isn't as high as it once was, and they can invest in infrastructure, agri-processing, or other facilities throughout Africa and see an exponential return on investment that others might not see. Really the best thing that the U.S. government can do is come up with a sound trade policy for what they want to see with the bilateral relationship between U.S. and key African nations. Clearly, we aren't going to find BITs or TIFAs or FTAs with all African nations, but coming up with those commonalities that make the rule of law and investment structure normal to American investment, I think, is the key. And then looking at our trading institutions, whether it's OPIC, the African Development Bank, or EXIM, to help them understand how to lead American firms to Africa in a more holistic sense. So I think we're looking at a sea change, especially with issues around the world that American firms are taking a second glance at where the Africa market is and realizing that there's great potential there and great partnership opportunities with a lot of these African nations to help with the tech transfer and that evolutionary kind of green revolution, infrastructure revolution that's taking place.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Africa Business Initiative engages the U.S. Business community on legislative policies that foster foreign direct investment in Africa. What legislation before the U.S. Congress are you either backing or proposing that would help investments in Africa?
Well, there's a coming up in 2015 is the reauthorization of the African Growth Opportunity Act, which was installed in 15 years ago under the kind of Clinton to Bush era, and it's one of the key trading tools that helps American firms understand what the market potential is, but it opens up the American market to African imports. So whether or not U.S. firms want to take advantage of that, it's up to them. But I think as we're looking at a phase two of that, we're looking at how we can make this a more two-way trading system to open up the African markets to American goods to help with the National Export Initiative and other U.S. government tools. So I think while there isn't anything that's really pending at this moment in time, what we're looking at is the next 3 to 5 years as being a critical time frame to expand the African marketplace to U.S. goods and services.
In what ways can U.S. investors help African governments reach the Millennium Development Goals, which include drastic reductions in poverty and disease and improvements in education and health?
Right, the good news about the way that American companies look at investments in the developing world is really with a kind of dual-track methodology. One, there's clearly a business interest. It's investments. There's return on investments. There's the growth of their capacity to have a product line that they can sell to any number of populations. But usually when American companies, 9 times out of 10, are investing in the developing world, in Africa in particular, there is that corporate social responsibility. So there's very rarely a firm that's looking at their investments in Africa that isn't thinking, okay, we will put in a factory or we'll put in a manufacturing center, but how do we then build into that components that are going to benefit the local community? So how do we build in a health center within our factories that's going to help our workers stay healthy, help their families, and how can we give back to the communities? And that's really the great story, I think, of where the Americans are looking at investing in Africa, is that it's with a dual-track notion. It's, yes, we're a corporation, but we also know there's a greater good that can be done here, and we want to help transfer technology, transfer our healthcare, transfer, you know, virtually anything that's going to make these communities stronger, because they're great employees at the end of the day.
In Ethiopia, is it pretty much the market, the fact that it's a 90 million person market, is that pretty much the interest? Is that it's becoming a viable market economy that is not being served?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, Ethiopia is strategically an important place for the U.S. If you look at a national security spectrum, especially where there are places in the world right now buttressing against the Middle East, in other words, so a stabilizing factor, especially with neighbors to the west like Sudan. But Ethiopia's market potential is great, and it's the human capital factor, it's the arable land, it's the fact that they have amazing potential in a very entrepreneurial population that has spent a lot of time in the U.S. through the diaspora and is now looking at how does the diaspora, the Ethiopian Americans that are American citizens, go back and partner with American firms and knowing that there's that potential market there. So I think there's a view right now that Ethiopia, and as they gain WTO accession over the next couple of years, they're in that process.
As they gain what? Say that again.
WTO. They're in the process of going through the WTO process. They want to be a member of that community. And as that takes hold, I think American firms are seeing it as a great leverage point so that they have that kind of sanctity of market strength in that WTO process. So if there are problems that emerge, that they have a body to go to, which, you know, it's sometimes a problem in Africa, is that you're not sure what the rule of law is at any point in time, depending on which market you're investing in.